we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
If you don't know me, my name is Chris Fluitt. I'm lead pastor here at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Hey, this is a happy, fun church.
Yes, it is.
With happy, fun people in it that are nice people. They're actually nice people. How about that? People out there think all church people are like rude and nasty and mean. Come to Redemption Church. We're on the corner of West Parker and Alma and Plano. No nasty, mean people here. Well, Jonathan, but other than that, we're all good. We're so glad everybody's here. We're in the fourth week of our Lego Church series. Fourth week. You can learn a lot from a Lego. You can learn a lot. You are created to connect with others. That's what we learned in the first week. You're created to connect, and you are built to build. And we build together in community. Week two, in order to build on something that will last, you must build on something that is unchanging. So we talked about the foundation, and Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. And last week, we told you, you can't give up. If you want to build, you can't stop midway. You can't just lay a few bricks down and say, I'm done with this project. You need to keep building. But what about when things get tough? Keep building. What about when you have a setback? Keep building. What about if I only have one piece? Use that build, that piece that you do have. God will give you the piece that you need. He'll give you everything that you need. God supplies all your needs. You just keep building. Today, I'm bringing you something that is normally not heard in church. I would tell you that it's probably not heard normally in church. It might be a little bit down a line of a sermon that you've never heard before. And that is not easy to do, my friends. That is not easy to do, but it is something that God has for us today. I want to tell you today that you are built to create. Look at somebody and say, you are built to create. You are built to be creative. Now, we have in society, we think, well, he's a creative type, right? We've got those people in boxes, they're a creative type. But I'm not creative. No, no, no. Everybody was built with the capacity to be creative. And you were built to be creative. You were built to be vibrant. You were built to be full of life. He came that you might have life and a full life, a life to the full, a more abundant life. That's what he's come. You are not built to just blend into the crowd. You are built to stand out from the crowd. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. I want to tell you that you're built to change your environment for the good. You're built to go into the world and change the world. You're built to go into your home today and change your home. You're built to march right into Plano, Texas and change that place. You're built to go into your work and change everything. You're built. Christians are built to change disease. Christians are built to change poverty. Christians are built to change child abuse. You point at a problem in the world. I'm telling you, a creative Christian is called to step into that problem and see a miracle happen. Amen? Y'all believe that? Am I in the right church today? You are created for so much more than just attending church. See, that is pretty much the height of Christian maturity in the United States. I would say that's what people think. Well, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. I belong over here. No, you're created so much more than that. How about this? You're created for so much more than being saved.
Amen. That's true. Yeah.
Oh, I'm saved. I crossed the finish line. Good, cool. Let me sit in my lazy boy and just kick back. You're built for so much more than wearing a What Would Jesus Do bracelet,
right,
or having a Jesus fish on your bumper. You're built for so much more than that. God has built you to create. When we started this series, we gave each of you a Lego brick. Do you remember that? Maybe you got one coming in today. This is a Lego brick. To be specific, the piece we gave you is the Lego 8 stud 2x4. Everyone, push up your nerd glasses and say, go, oh, that's a nice 8 stud 2x4 Lego brick that you have right there. This right here is the most common Lego. All right? Chances are this is the one that you're stepping on barefoot. All right? This is the one right here. And it's probably up with that little sharp angle right there. All right? It is a very simple Lego brick. Would you agree? If this thing is by itself, that's all it can ever do. But if I were to take two 8 stud 2x4 Lego bricks, how many combinations could I create? What do you think? How many different combinations? Now forget that these are actually different color. The fact that they're different color would actually double what I could do with it. How many? Somebody, come on and get an answer out. 8, 16? The answer is 24. You can have 24 different combinations with these two bricks. If I were to add one more 8 stud 2x4 Lego brick, now I have 3. How many combinations could I create with this? This is really simple, right? It's just 3 little bricks. What could you possibly build with 3 little bricks? If I gave you this as a kid and said, here, play with these Legos, you'd be like, what am I supposed to build with this? How many combinations could you create with 3 8 stud 2x4 Lego bricks? Anyone? 116? Close. 1,060 combinations. 1,060. All right, so that's 3. What if we added 3 more? So now we have 6. We have 6. I'm dropping one. We have 6 8 stud 2x4 Lego bricks. How many combinations are possible now? 1,832. Anyone else? The answer is 915,103,765. Did that just change the way you thought about Legos? These are 6 of the most common Legos you can find. And if I gave these to you, if I gave each of us 6 of these and said, all right, let's exhaust all the combinations today amongst us all, we could not fulfill all that's right here. I want to tell you something today, that you are vastly more complicated and vastly more gifted than a Lego brick. Amen. My God. There is so much more to you than what this is. And God has created you for so much more. He's created you for more than, well, I go wake up, I go to bed, I come home, I go to bed, I wake up, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed. There are so many more opportunities for you. There's so much more that God can use you for. Do you believe that? We need a church in Plano, Texas that believes that. Not only that, that is our message to everybody that walks in the back door. I'm so glad you're here. God has so much more. No, I don't need to hear about your past. No, your past, there's so much more than that. I don't need to hear even, well, I know what you're trying to do now, but God's got so much. You've got struggles right now? Oh, that's all right, because I've got a God with just infinite possibilities that are at work inside you. God is so good. If something as simple as an 8 stud 2x4 brick can do all that, 915.1 million, we as connected people ought to create more possibilities in our world. We should not point to the government and say, okay, government, solve this. No, you and I filled with the Spirit and filled with the gifts of the Spirit and filled with love and empowered by a supernatural God who said he'll give us everything we need. Yeah. Now we ought to change the world. I would tell you, you're so much more impressive than an 8-stud, 2x4 Lego brick. Your Bible tells you that one person can chase 1,000. One person can send 1,000 enemies to flight. And then it says this, two together can chase 10,000. Together we can do so much more. I need volunteers. I need two volunteers. I met two volunteers before service. Y'all come on up. These are my builders today. These are my builders. I have in my hand one of the smallest Lego sets I could find. I found it at Walmart. It's called Lego Creator, and it's 53 puzzle pieces, and it creates 3 different things. So I would like y'all to work together here and try to create something for us, okay? Y'all just come right here to this table. Now, here are your instructions, all right? What's our instructions, church? The Bible. You look at the Bible, you look at Jesus Christ. He's our instructor. So here it is. Let's see. Let's create the sailboat. There's the sailboat right here. You'll find the sailboat in there and get to building. All right? Let's give them a hand. So I'm talking today about creativity. I'm talking to you about passion. I'm talking to you about an ability to dream, to see what's not there. And you might be saying, well, this isn't a very spiritual subject. I thought we were going to learn from God's word today, not play with toys. That would be a real snide thing to say. I would like to help you understand that creativity is spiritual. God's creative power is spiritual. Of all things that are spiritual, you might be reluctant to include creativity. Prayer, all that's spiritual. Worship, absolutely. Studying the word of God, yeah. Witnessing to others, giving your tithes and your offering, helping the homeless, absolutely. But maybe not so much creativity. I have some scripture to share with you, but first, I want to share a list of creative people in your Bible. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. In fact, I would love it if you came up with somebody I left off the list. But it's kind of like a top 10 list that I spent like 20 minutes putting together. Okay, so maybe you can do better. But here's number 10, Jethro. Do you know who Jethro is? Maybe you didn't even know there was a guy named Jethro in the Bible. You had a big cowboy hat, flannel shirt on, and a piece of straw out of his mouth. You know this guy? No, Jethro was Moses' father-in-law, and he gives creative and wise leadership advice. Moses was being overwhelmed by all the people, and Jethro came along and gave him a brand new outlook to look at leadership and delegation. And for put your leadership books down, go read what Jethro says, because it's incredibly wise and creative. Number 9, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Did you know she wrote a song? Yeah, some of y'all think I've got a joke coming. I don't. I should have prepared a joke right there. No, in Luke chapter 1, she sings a song. It seems like it's this extemporaneous worship to God about what he's doing. And that's in verse 9. I thought that was really creative. Verse 8, Solomon. He was an artistic poet and writer. He was full of wisdom. Under his oversight, the nation of Israel became a center for the world's greatest arts, the pinnacle being the temple. All right? Number 7, Luke, Saint Apostle Luke right there. Luke, in addition to being a physician, if that's not impressive enough, he was also a historical journalist of the book of Acts and writer of the Gospel of Luke, and he may also have been a painter. There are some extra biblical historical things that lead some people to believe that Luke was a painter. So there are these extra biblical accounts of Luke painting as a way to visualize the happenings within Scripture. So he wasn't just writing and trying to tell everyone about it. He wanted to visualize it for people to see. I thought that was really amazing. Number six, Joseph of the Old Testament. Joseph, he had dreams. He interpreted dreams. He schemed a perfect plan to reveal himself to his brothers without causing them harm. He showed leadership in every stage of his life. You talk about every stage of your life. His stages of life were incredibly different. He was a servant. He was a prisoner. He was a slave. And he was also, I don't know, second in command all over the greatest nation on the planet at the time, Egypt. Wow, he really grew in stature there. Wow. Man. With God's information, this guy, God gives him information about a famine that's coming. And with this information, he devised a plan to carry a nation through a 7-year famine like it had no problems. Not only that, it took in other nations. It became wealthy in the process, but also helped other nations not starve. That's Joseph. Sounds pretty creative, right? Number five, psalmist. And this is kind of a general, all lumped together. Psalmist. The book of Psalms was written by psalmists. These psalmists wrote approximately half of the book of Psalms. The families of Asaph and Korah. You know, the sons of Korah that fell down? Well, their children lived. Their children did right. The adults didn't. And they grew up to be worshipers, and they wrote this book of Psalms. Two brothers, one of them is named He-Man, isn't that cool? By the power of, no, not that He-Man, all right. He-Man and Ethan. I'm probably saying this wrong, I'm making myself say He-Man. It's probably He-Man and Ethan, all right. How about this one, Moses. Moses was a psalmist. He wrote psalms. And even Solomon wrote these very artistic scripture songs, all right? So that was number five. Number four, David, King David. You're probably waiting for that one, right? He wrote about half of the other half of the book of Psalms. He was a songwriter. He was a skilled musician. He was also good with a slingshot. Number three, Paul the Apostle creatively brought the gospel of Jesus to many different cultures. He would present Christ in a way that the Jews would receive him. And then he would turn around and he would present the same Christ, the exact same Christ, not a watered down Christ, not a different Christ, the same Christ he would then present to Gentile philosophers of Greece that they would receive him. He would offer a different approach to reach within the culture wherever he was, whatever vast different culture he was. And he would reach down and he would present the world in a receivable way. Sometimes we present God, but we don't present him in a receivable way. Just one simple way that might help you understand. You got like these young kids coming into church and you start quoting all the these and thous and you pray really floridly and you use all these big words and they're like, I don't understand a word he's saying. No, you need to reach them. You need to speak their language. You need to step down into that culture. And Paul was a master of that. He really shapes a lot of the vision of Redemption Church right there. We want to speak your language, all right? That's why we're preaching about Legos, y'all. Not because we ran out of things to say. We're trying to preach you God's plan for you using something very simple that you understand. Paul became all things to all men that he might win them to Christ. He even said it. Now, we're going to skip number two, and we're going to go straight to number one. Okay, we're going to come back to number two. Don't freak out. But number one, it's hard to make a list and not make Jesus number one, right? If you're making a list in life, you need to make God number one. So he created the whole world. He created all of mankind. He reached down in mud and created man. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by him. You have been knit together by him. Did you know that God knits? He knits, right? It's a different picture of God. I just pictured him rocking in a little, just knitting. How's your day? I don't know. No, sorry. But he knitted you together. Yeah. in your mother's womb. His artistry on this planet alone, forget the rest of the galaxy universe, his artistry on this planet outdoes any artist ever born. The power of his words outdo any writer. His wisdom, it is the source of all wisdom. When Christ shares this wisdom, he used creative parables that even people that have trouble quoting scripture can explain and point out the meaning of his teaching. Right? You know some of those parables, right? All right? You know those and you understand those. You might not be great at quoting scripture. You might not be able to even great at all understanding everything about the Bible, but you get the point of the prodigal son. You get it.
Yes.
You understand it. Because he creatively presented it to you. You understand the Good Samaritan. You understand that you're supposed to care for your neighbor. This is the creative work of our creative God. God is the most creative. End of the story. He's number one. By the way, you are created in his likeness, in his image. Don't you think that means you should carry some of the creativity of your father inside of you? Amen? All right, now let's go to number two. All right? Bezalel. Right? Bezalel is an amazing creative talent in your Bible. But, you know, because everybody's heard of him and knows all about him, you know, everyone knows about Bezalel. We'll just move on and we'll finish this sermon up. Oh, what? Y'all don't know about Bezalel? I got a kick out of writing that. Of course, no one knows. What are you talking about? Gesundheit, right? Isn't that Satan? Isn't he called Bezalel? No, that's Beelzebub, right? Bezalel. Okay, let me set this scripture reading up for you that we're about to read, all right? The children of Israel have been delivered from slavery in what country?
Egypt,
that's right. And they are now journeying in the wilderness towards the Promised Land. The children of Israel were commanded to build a portable tabernacle for the Lord. He needed a place to live among them. This was to be the dwelling place of God. Kind of a big deal. A lot of time, a lot of effort and thought needed to go into this. No expense should be spared. All right, that is the setup of what we're about to read, Exodus 34, 35, and 29. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. So all the Israelite men and women that were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings. They're like, okay, I'm going to bring this. So they brought silver, they brought gold, they brought linen, they brought whatever they had. If they needed straw, well, we needed straw to build bricks. We need to build stuff. So they all brought things, all right? Now Bezalel ends up bringing something. Verse 30, then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Real quick, what does Judah mean? Praise. Judah means praise. This creative person is from the tribe of praise. Don't forget it. Verse 31. And he has filled him. God has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Verse 32. To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze. 33, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. Now I want to ask you, is creativity spiritual? Look at this guy, Bezalel. Are the gifts that are within you, do they belong to you? Or could they have been placed in you by God? Maybe we need to think a little bit differently about our gifts and abilities. Oh, man. Why don't we just say it? Why don't we stop putting our abilities down? Oh, that's just something I do in my spare time. No, that's no big deal. No, I did that, but no, it's really bad, and you're just tearing your work down all of it. Are you kidding me? Do you know who gave you that ability? Do you know who gave you that passion to create? Do you know who gave you that wisdom? Do you know who did it? Do you know it is God? Oh, guys, it looks like we've got, what's going on here? What? How could that possibly be? This is not quite... I mean, it's pretty good, but it's not quite...
Pretty good.
I tell you what. Let's try to make the hovercraft one. We'll try to make the hovercraft. So that one didn't work. Maybe you guys can do better on that. Come on, guys. I thought you were good at Legos. All right. So everyone that was willing gave free will contributions to God's house. Everyone in Israel. But there are some that God has chosen and he is gifted for special purposes. And by the Holy Spirit, Bezalel was gifted with wisdom. He was gifted with ability. He was gifted with craftsmanship. He was gifted with artistic creativity. He was gifted to do things with his hands that were amazing, that made people say, wow. God says creativity is spiritual. Can I tell you real quick? God has gifted you by the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you didn't work hard on your talents. You didn't work hard on things. I'm not saying that at all. No, absolutely not. But even the passion to work hard, that drive to go further, that didn't start with you. You have talents, and they were placed by God. You have dreams, and they were placed by God. You have wisdom, and it was placed by God. You have a God vision. A God vision. You have a vision that just, it won't let you go to do something for someone else. That's a God vision, my friend. It was placed by God. You have a passion to do certain things. You can't stop doing it. You can't stop thinking about it. You've got this passion to do it. Let me tell you, God placed that there. You have a chosen calling. You have a chosen calling. It's placed by God. Not because you're perfect, not because you're good, not because you're any of those things, but because the Creator has reached down and He has, by the Spirit, filled you with this. Your hands are good at certain things. That's placed by God. You have a way with words. That was placed by God. You have an ability to play music. That was placed by God. We do not honor our giftings enough. They were placed by God. We do not recognize and support the gifts of others enough. They were placed by God. Amen. I tell you what, when you see someone that's talented, there's something, some people have a hard time giving a compliment. Oh, come on, somebody. That ought to be like, amen. And you look at your husband, amen. All right. Some people have a hard time giving compliments. Some people, they are just born with a critique, right? Have you ever met somebody that they didn't have anything nice to say ever? It was always something critical. It was always a critique. It was always, well, you know, could you just say something nice? You know what I'm talking about? That shouldn't be you. That shouldn't be you. You should look at something. You should look to encourage it. You'd look, because that was placed by God, that ability. You ought to look them in the eye and say, that is awesome. You keep up this gift. I believe God can use this gift. Amen. Redemption Church, some of you people are just so stinking talented. You're so stinking talented. If I had the time, I would just one by one tell you what I know about you that is so stinking talented. Use your gift. It is so powerful. It is placed by God, and it can change someone's life. It can change Redemption Church. It can glorify God. Bezalel was working with stone, and it glorified God. He was working with wood, but that wood became the Ark of the Covenant. That wood became the altar where the sins of Israel would be slain right there. Oh my goodness, Bezalel, what a gift. My friends, what a gift. Ephesians chapter 2. Here's some scriptures right here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship. You better not talk bad about nobody. They are God's workmanship. He's pretty good at what he does. Amen. You're God's workmanship, and you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works yourself, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God, you are God's workmanship, and he has created you to do creative good works. That's what he's done. Proverbs 22 and 29. This is a great scripture about creativity. Look at this. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. I'm telling you, God has the ability in you, and you're working at it, and you're focusing on it. We got some writers in here. We got some artistic people that are unbelievable with graphics. We have some musicians in here. If you will allow God to grow you and build you and keep working and keep building, you will not stay at the level you are at. You will not stay in obscurity. You listen to me, writers. You're not going to stay in obscurity. You listen to me, artists. You will not stay in obscurity. You listen to me, people with wisdom, and you're trying to build something great and huge with leadership and with your finances. You're not going to stay in obscurity. Proverbs says you will serve before kings. You're going to be a big deal. Guys, do we have this put together? Which one are we on now?
Hovercraft.
We're on the hovercraft?
Does it hover?
Does it hover yet? Man, it's the year 2016. We're supposed to have a hovercraft by now. It was a Back to the Future joke at church. That just happened. Please forgive me. Okay, guys, I'm going to level with you. See, these wonderful folks were not able to finish their building project, and here's the reason why. There are some missing pieces to this project. There is missing pieces in this congregation. There's a project that needs to be built, but the pieces aren't all being used. There are some pieces right here in this congregation that need to be used. Is there any missing pieces around here? There any missing pieces? Why don't you go on up? Do you have some missing pieces you can add to this project? Come on, let's build this. He's got some missing pieces. Look at this. Oh, look. There's some missing pieces. What if Bezalel would have withheld the gift of God, the gift that God had given him, and said, no, I'm not going to use this. Or no, it's something I do in my free time. No, it's kind of a private hobby of mine. No, I do woodworking, but I'm not going to share that. I'm not ready to share that yet. Do you think God would have been happy? You think God would have been bummed? Let's just say that. I would say that it would grieve the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit to do these things. So I would say there's a scripture in your Bible that says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. I would say that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. Do you think God would have then taken away the ability that he'd given? I'll think about that for a second. I've given you this ability, so is God like a use it or lose it kind of guy? He like, oh, you're not going to use that, Bezalel? I'm going to take that from you and give it to someone else. Do you think God's like that? You would think that God would take back the gifting he gives you, but he doesn't. See, that's not his way. Romans 11, 29 tells us, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Another version says the calling of God is without repentance. Repentance is to turn around. God never turns around from the calling he's called you in. He has never turned away from the gifting he's given you. So even if Bezalel would have held that stuff and not given it, he would have still been able to do all those amazing things. God has given you the missing piece, and it's up to you to use it. You are the missing piece. You're someone's missing piece. What you have to offer to your family, to your community, to your church, it's the missing piece. And Bezalel, he stepped in there. He was the missing piece. And generations were blessed by it. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant, guys, it's still around. What craftsmanship. It is still around. That thing is going to show up one day. And when it shows up, you better be ready to get gone. It's going to be near the end. Let me tell you. You are the missing piece. And God has never taken... He's not taking those things away from you. Those gifts, that calling will continue to lay dormant inside of you until you start using them. As I close today, here's what you need to know. The person you are, who you are, the gifts, the passion, the ability, the dreams, all of those things, it is not by random chance. I'm just kind of good at that. I've just always been kind of good at... No, it's not by random chance. The person you are, the dreams, the passion, the ability, the gifts, it has been placed there by the Holy Spirit. You got to know it. You need to know it. There are some writers in this church. Don't you dare be sheepish or apologetic about your passion or your gifting. Clap your hands if you believe it. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. One day God will give you a platform to step on. When you come to that, you step out on that platform. Not full of pride, but full of humility, knowing that it's God that's opened the door for you. But also this moment belongs to you because God gave it to you. Amen. Sometimes we have this false humility thing. See, we got to balance this. It's God that's opened up the opportunity. But it is also God that gave you the opportunity. It's your opportunity. So you step on it, out on the scene like it belongs to you. All right? See, sometimes we're quick with the humility and say, well, God's opened this door for me. And then we turn around and we're like, oh, is it okay, you know, if I just kind of be successful? Right? Oh, come on. No, that's not humility. Humility is AG2G, all glory to God. And this is the opportunity. This is the moment. He's given me the words to say. He's given, oh, speaking of, look at this. Look how cool that is. Let's give those guys a hand. Check that out. They're missing pieces. They're missing pieces to what you're wanting to build. And the missing piece could be the guy sitting on the same row with you. You got to get that, okay? Thank you, guys. Y'all can be seated. You guys rock. Thank y'all. I play awful tricks on people, and they still come up and volunteer. God bless them. So I talked about those writers. How about this one? Musicians. There are some musician rock stars in this church. I mean, this church right now. Go after your dream. And make sure that God is front and center in your dream. Make sure He's front and center in your creativity because He's the one that placed the gift inside of you. Now, can I go also and say this? When I was growing up, rock and roll was pretty much evil. Like, God's given you all these giftings, but you only have to use them like this. There's this one little square of, and it has to fit inside this small little compartment. And, oh my goodness, it's like, and there's some churches like, oh, I'm sorry, that was a little bit too rocky, that worship experience there. We need to tone that down. And were those drums I saw in the church? Oh, God. You know, when you play those in church, snakes come out of them. Made that up, but no, you think church churches are all cool with drums. That's only been like in the last decade or two that that's come about, let me tell you. Like, because we had these compartments and like, no, you need to play A Mighty Fortress Is. Maybe your passion's somewhere else. No, no, no. Didn't you hear what I said? You have to sing this and you have to act this way. And you, no, let me tell you this. And if you use your musical gift outside of the church, that's the devil also. Wrong. Show me that scripture. Show me that scripture. He put the creativity in you. Walk outside of the church, use your gift, and bring God front and center into the scene. You can be a rock star for Jesus. Let me tell you, you can be a beautiful model walking a runway for Jesus. You can be an actor for Jesus. You don't have to draw a small little compartment and say, you only can operate inside of there. You can be a Christian writer and write songs that write songs that are outside of the Christian genre. You can write books that are outside of the Christian genre. God's not like, oh my goodness, they're misusing their gift. No, he's like, they're using their gift. They're using, that's my child, and I gave them that ability, and they're walking in it. They're walking in it. People of wisdom, people with business sense, people that understand the value of a dollar and a budget. Can I tell you, not just everyone has that. Don't you dare think, well, that's just kind of how my personality works. No, you're going to make me throw my tablet on the ground. I'm so mad that you would think that. No, God gave you that ability. People with leadership skills. And you know how to lead people. You need to talk. You know how to talk to people, communicate to people, encourage people. That just is not just something at random. God gave you that. You are filling a call that you don't understand. Man, I think every Christian ought to be filling a call that they don't fully understand yet. Do you agree with that? Maybe a call to do something in God's church right here. Maybe a call to do something outside of the church right there. Maybe it's just a call to go meet somebody and go have coffee with them and look for the opportunity to share Jesus Christ. You don't know if it's God or if you're just simply being silly. I totally get that. That's a cool place to be. Bezalel would tell you, it's not silly, it's the Holy Spirit. My little doodles that I'm drawing on, and because I'm going to make this piece of wood right here, it's not silly, it's the Holy Spirit. My little carvings right here, it's not silly, it's the Holy Spirit. My little engraving right here, it's not silly, it's the Holy Spirit. When it comes to you, your giftings and your passion and your dreams, can I tell you, it's not silly, it's the Holy Spirit. Redemption Church, our vision and our goal and our passion to win the lost for Jesus Christ, it's not silly, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you clap if you believe that? Yeah. We believe it. You need to know that God's Holy Spirit is at work. Man, this is where we really miss it sometimes. Because we think God's Holy Spirit is only at work when we can see Him. Come on, I'm preaching now. We think God's Holy Spirit is only at work when we feel the goosebumps or when we see the physical manifestation. Can I tell you? You got to know right now, you've been praying and you don't see anything happening. But let me tell you, God's Holy Spirit is at work. You got friends and you've been inviting them. You've been witnessing to them. You've been praying for them and you don't see any difference. You listen to me. God's Holy Spirit is at work. You've been working really hard, but you haven't seen the doors open yet. You've been working really hard, but you haven't seen the success that you keep dreaming about. Don't you give up. God's Holy Spirit is at work in ways you don't see it. Redemption Church. You'll look around and you're like, where is everybody? Where are the new next people that are going to be saved? Where is all this happening? Don't you freak out. God's Holy Spirit is at work. It's at work. It's at work. I believe it. I believe it. Let me tell you this, Pastor. He needs to preach that to himself every once in a while. Because we preach a sermon and we said, man, I had this vision, I had this dream that this church would just get on fire after that sermon. And they just kind of looked at me. It wasn't the picture I saw. Oh, Chris Fluitt, you calm down. Because God's Spirit is at work when you can't see it. It might not look like you think it's going to look like, but my friend, God's Holy Spirit is at work. Amen. Amen. Somebody needs to cling to that today. So if the Holy Spirit is at work, then He's calling you into big, bold, and beautiful things, creative things. He's calling you. So you be bold about going. You go big. You don't go home. You go and you unleash all the creativity that you have. You don't hold back and don't apologize for it because your Father in heaven has given that to you. All right. So that's what you need to do, right? That's what you need to know. Your gifts aren't random. They're put there by the Holy Spirit. So here is what you need to do. You need to bring your free will offering. Everyone that was willing could bring their free will offering and offer it to the Lord. Stop being a missing piece. Be willing and come and lay it down. You need to ask the giver of the gift to give you wisdom, to give you faith, to give you boldness to use it. Redemption Church, we're called to be creative. We're called to not be just like every other church. We're called to be special. The Bible says we're called to be peculiar people. That's what we're called to be. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church, and this is kind of different for people. We just tell them these are the three things we're going to do, and you know, we don't want to offend you about them, but these are the three things. We worship God together, and we challenge you to worship. We challenge you to go further than just hearing songs. We challenge you to enter into the very presence of God. We've worshiped God together. We receive the Word of God together. That's number two. And we've brought you this very, you know, simple to understand message. But it is the Word of God. And it is poignantly for this moment. God spoke to us, put this all together. Had you be here to hear this, receive the Word of God. Don't let it just go through your ears, but receive it. Lay claim to what you heard today. And then the third thing is we talk to God. If anything that I talked about today, like, hit you right in your heart, like, oh my goodness, that's me. I haven't been using my gift that way. I haven't been viewing myself in that special way. Do me a favor today. Come in the first 2 feet. You know what the first 2 feet mean, right? The first 2 feet, that means you want us to pray with you. We want to pray with you today. You need to lay claim to what God has given you. And we want to be a part of it. We're going to pray that God would open up all the doors. That He'd make all the crooked ways straight. So they would be easy to understand what He's got for you today. If you've got anything else going on in your life, you're welcome in the first 2 feet. If you want to just come and pray and just like not come to the first 2 feet, that's okay too. We love you. Why don't you come right now? In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for every person in this house. I'm so thankful for the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that You've put powerful things into my heart and in the hearts of other people, Lord. You've put dreams. You've put passions, God. You put a vibrancy in them, God. You put an excitement into them, God. Lord, get a hold of them in Jesus' name. Lord, use their skill for Your glory, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, that someone would come today and say, this is the gift I want to bring back to God. You gave it to me. Lord, teach me how to use this gift. Show me how to do it. Show me how to do something creative and beautiful in Your world. God, Lord, I pray for Redemption Church, that we would not just be another church, that would be Your church, that would be on fire, on the fire of the Holy Spirit, that we'd have the fire of loving people, that we'd have the fire of caring for people, that we would have the fire of seeing problems in our world and feel the call to do something about it. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God in this
hour. More information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.